go ahead and go into the scriptures and turn to the book of John, chapter 1. John chapter 1, we're going to begin reading in verse 1. John chapter 1, verse 1, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh, and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bare witness of him, and cried, saying, This is he of whom I spake, he that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness have all we received in grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ." Now, Heavenly Father, I thank you again for the Word of God that we've just read. And I pray you'd help me to preach it clear and plain. And Lord, I pray that you would work in the hearts of each person here in this room and any who might hear this message. Lord, we just ask your help to let us see what we need to see. Father, you know our hearts. You know our deepest fears, the things we're ashamed of. There's not a word in our mouth that you already know. There's nothing that can be hid from you. So help us to just be open and honest today, and help us to learn, help us to grow. Lord, I pray you'd work in every heart. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, when we look in the Bible is actually very specific when it talks about Jesus Christ and who he is. We're warned in the book of Galatians and in the book of 2 Corinthians, we're warned about people that preach another Jesus and have another gospel and another spirit. And so it's imperative that when we talk about Jesus, we're talking about the Jesus of the Bible. You can go into society in our culture today and in the world today, but just in the United States of America, and you will find all manner of ideas about who Jesus is or who he was. I've even met people who deny that he ever existed. I met a man one time, he said there was no evidence that Jesus ever existed. And that's not true. It wasn't just the Bible. Jesus is part of the historical record. All right, it's not just the Bible, it's the only witness to his existence. Now, whether or not you believe he's who he claimed to be and who the Bible says he is, that's one thing or another. But to just outright deny that he ever even existed, that's kind of way out there. But there are people like that. There are people that like to say he was a good teacher, or that's all he was, or he was just a prophet, or he was just something else along the line, a good man, and all these type of things that people say of him. And but the one thing about it is, when we look at who Christ is, if we're going to believe on somebody, if we're going to trust somebody, we need to understand who it is we're trusting. Have you ever trusted somebody and found out they weren't what you thought they were? That's kind of a scary thought, isn't it? And so many people, when it comes to their relationship with Christ, they know something about Christ, they have an opinion about Him, they don't really know who He is. And then, so often, when we look at what people believe about Jesus Christ, and I could spend a good amount of time here this morning, and I could go through religion after religion and what they say about Jesus. I could tell you what the Muslims say about Jesus, what the Jehovah's Witnesses say about Jesus, what the Mormons say about Jesus, what the Buddhists say about Jesus. I could tell you, there are different groups of all. There's a group called Theosophy. They have their idea of who Jesus was, and the Baha'i has an idea of who Jesus was, and of course Judaism has an idea of who Jesus was. And all of these things that people have, these ideas of who Jesus is. But the one thing about it is first of all, we were warned about people preaching another Jesus. And the second thing about it is, if we were going to get an idea and understanding of who Jesus is, we have to go to the Scriptures. We have to go to the Bible. And whether you accept it or reject it, this is the definitive place to find out who Jesus is. And so one thing I wanted to take some time this morning and just talk about the Lord Jesus Christ. And these first 17 verses of the book of John give us an overview of who Jesus is. Not just in terms of His earthly ministry, those 33 and a half years He walked on the face of this earth, but they give us the idea and the understanding of who He is in His person. I mean, we can look at verse 17. It says, "For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ." And that is an amazing thing. You know, we can talk about the law all you want. There are so many people that talk about the law, and God, the law has a purpose. God gave the law. The laws that we have on the books, many and most of them, particularly having to do with moral issues, are based upon the law that God gave. And the laws of the nations, the laws against stealing, the laws against lying and false witness and slander and all these type of things. We get laws against murder. And the different laws that we have. And so we could talk in those regards, but the basis for those laws came from the law that primarily from the law that God gave all the way through history. God gave the Mosaic law to Moses and the children of Israel, but even before that, God had a law to Adam. God gave laws to Abraham. There were laws that God gave, but as man's relationship with God changed over the things, God's medium of giving those laws changed. All right, God didn't always speak face to face after Moses, but before, from Moses' time before, God spoke directly to individuals. And He used prophets and people like that, but God spoke to people directly. He doesn't do that so much as of now, but the point being is we have the law. We have all of these things. And so all the laws of the nations, they have a basis if you go back to creation. Right? they have a basis where these laws came from, and they came from God. God's the ultimate lawgiver. But the law can't save anybody, can it? The law can simply determine guilt or innocence in a particular case. And so that's where the law has problems. You see, the children of Israel and the people before, their righteousness wasn't based upon the law. The law was how they lived, and they were to live, and that was the law was their testimony to the world. And the things that they do in the law that they were supposed to keep out of love for God, they made their righteousness, and they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, went to establish their own righteousness. And so the law that they were given could never save them. You go back to Adam and Eve, they had the promise that the seed of the woman would bruise the serpent's head. You go back to Abraham, and God said, "In thee and in thy seed," talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, "shall all the nations of the earth be blessed." And you go all the way through there, and you can read through there, and more about this Savior, this Messiah, is revealed to us throughout the Scriptures. And you look at the things that the Bible says about the Messiah, even in the Old Testament. Isaiah 9:6, "For unto us a son is given, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and he shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." You go to Micah 5:2, and the prophecy of where Christ would be born, it says, "But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet shall come forth unto me him that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth are from old, from everlasting." And so even in the Old Testament, the Bible talks about Jesus, that Messiah, as being more than just a mere man. And we read here, and that's what I'm saying, the law can't give righteousness, but that Savior whom God appointed can. The law was given by Moses. When you and I break the law, if you go out and break the law, they don't ask you how many good things you've done. They're only concerned with the law, right? What law do you... Isn't it amazing that when we stand before the judge, we're never asked about the laws we've kept. We're always asked about the law we broke. And the truth of the matter is, if somebody breaks the law and you're the victim, you really don't care how many good things they've done, do you? You want justice, don't you? And there's nothing wrong with that. And one day God judges everybody, and that's the day of justice. The law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. The grace and the mercy that God extends, it comes through Jesus Christ. And I'm not talking about general mercy as God staying his hand of judgment and giving us space to repent. I'm talking about literal mercy. Having that assurance of salvation, that assurance of your relationship with God, and so to have grace and truth, that only comes through Jesus Christ. That's what the Bible clearly says. It doesn't give us any wiggle room on that. Jesus said in John 14:6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." That's exclusive. Doesn't leave room for anybody else. And that's why it's so important to understand who Jesus is. And so when we look at this, we look at what the Scripture says. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In other words, it says very clearly that the Word was God, was with God, the Word was God. He was there in the beginning, and all things were made by Him. This Word is the Creator, and without Him was not anything made that was made. That's the Creator, this Word, this one who is called the Word here, He is the Creator. He's God. And so, when we go on and read about Him, it says, in Him was life, and the life was the light of men. God is the author of life, by the way. He said, and the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Now, isn't that an interesting thing about to say about this one that's called the Word, who was God? He's the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. That God gives light to every man that cometh into the world. Whether you believe in God or not, at some point, there's an inherent understanding in mankind of right and wrong. We may justify our doing wrong to others, but we are quick to recognize when others do wrong to us. And the reality of that is that understanding of light, that's what condemns us, because we justify ourselves while we excuse our actions towards others, which makes us all guilty, doesn't it? Which is another reason why we need a Savior. Something to think about. But he goes on, it says, he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. So he was in the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own received him not. Once again, talking about Jesus Christ, but that clearly says that he's the Creator. And if, to remove all doubt, we'll skip to verse 14. We'll come back to verses 12 and 13, but we'll skip to verse 14. And it says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. We beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father. The Bible clearly says the only begotten Son is Jesus Christ, right? The Word was made flesh. That means Jesus existed long before this world was created. He created the world. He was there. And we could spend time talking about the doctrine of the triune nature of God, which most people call the Trinity. The Father is God. The Son is God. The Holy Spirit is God. One God, yet eternally existed as three persons. We could talk about all of that. But we don't really need to go that far right now. All we need to do is focus at this one thing, that this one who became a man, was born of a virgin, this one named Jesus, the Savior, the Messiah, it says his name is called the Word, and he was God. And he was the only begotten Son of God. He was full of grace and truth. And so when we look at that passage of Scripture, that we're looking at somebody who's more than just a man, more than just a great teacher, more than just a prophet, more than any of those things. He is literally God in human flesh when he walked this earth. That the babe of Bethlehem's manger was God incarnate. And he lived and he walked and he lived a sinless, perfect life. He never sinned. He never did anything wrong. And when the Bible talks about Jesus' return, if you were to go to Revelation 19, it says in verse 11, and I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him is called faithful and true. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no man knew but he himself, and he was clothed in a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. This is the return of Christ in glory. So when we look at that passage of Scripture, even there, he's called the Word of God. He is the literal embodiment of the Word of God. He is the Word of God. We have the written Word of God, but the written Word of God just reflects who Jesus Christ is. And we see that. And this is something that we have to understand, and this is something that we need to communicate. When we try to tell somebody about Jesus, we're not just talking about some religious leader or some preacher or somebody like that. We're talking about literally the Creator reaching down and providing the means of reconciliation. We're talking about when the Bible says that Jesus died on Calvary's cross for our sins, when it says that He bore in His body our sins while He was on the tree, that it was God Himself taking the judgment that man deserved. And the suffering that He underwent because of who He was equivalent to every person spending eternity separated from God in hell. That He suffered enough to cover that. We don't think about that, do we? We don't think about those things, do we? And so often we live in sin. We're comfortable with it. It's part of our nature. We live in it. And even as a Christian, until the completion of our redemption, we still have to fight temptation to sin and all these things. And we know what the Bible says about that. But so we have this tendency to look at sin as, everybody does it. Nobody's perfect. And that just judges ourselves to say that we're guilty before God. But the simple fact is, if you were to think about sin in the way I don't know that I could paint you a picture to show you how abhorrent sin is to God and how much Jesus suffered in bearing our sins and the penalty for our sins. Now, I've sat there and I've talked about some time I had a thought. I've never done this, but I've often thought about doing it. But I thought about bringing in a big pot and then taking and pouring there sewage and manure and oil and filth, every filthy thing, animal guts and everything. That'd be a terrible thing to bring in church, wouldn't it? And just put that all in there, and the smell would drive everybody out anyway, wouldn't it? So if I did something like that as an object lesson, I'd have to take everybody outside. But take every filthy thing you can imagine and throw it in that pot, and then take a pure and white garment of some kind, a shirt or a dress or something like that, and put it in there and soak it in real good, and then pull it out and say, "Here, now you put this on." He said, "No, I would never do that. No way you get me to put that on." And yet, that can't even approach to what Jesus suffered. Something to think about. See, we don't think in those terms. But if Christ's death and substitution and payment for sins was enough to pay for the penalty of sin, and the wages of sin is death, and the second of death is eternity in the lake of fire, then what Christ suffered is indeed that bad. And he died and he rose from the dead. He proved that the penalty for sin has been paid. And so we look at that, but when we look at who Jesus is and what he accomplished for us and what he accomplished for mankind, to where that even though the wages of sin is death, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. When we look at that in context, and we look at what he's done, and we actually think on it, meditate on it, and spend some time to comprehend the reality of it, we see that Jesus would have to be more than a man. And the Bible clearly says that he was. In Philippians chapter 2, it says, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon himself the form of a servant. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself to the obedience of the death of the cross. The book of Hebrews tells us that he, by the grace of God, tasted death for every man. It's just an amazing thing. But when we think of Jesus, so often we don't think of him as who he is. The world certainly doesn't do that. They don't think of him as being the creator. You know, one of the favorite stories I've ever had of missionaries was it was a fellow that was over in I forget the country he was in. This was back in the I think the late 1800s missionary, and they were over in, I don't know if it was Papua New Guinea or if it was somewhere in Africa or whatever, but they had went, and there was a village that they went to, and they sat there and they were trying to share the gospel with these people, and they just couldn't get it. They couldn't understand it. And they were trying to share the gospel with them and trying to let them understand who Jesus was and what he had done for them, and the people couldn't get it. And they said the chief of that village was a huge man. I mean, just big and strapping and muscular and everything like that. And he was the chief, obviously, because nobody could challenge him. He was the strongest, the man there, no doubt. He was the chief, and they had a law there that, you know, their law was very severe. If somebody got caught stealing or something like that, there were severe penalties for it. And you know, he said, we watched them for many years. Many years we tried to work with them and tried to get them to understand. And said one day they had the breakthrough came when the chief's own mother was caught stealing, and they came out and they brought her before the chief, and they wanted to see what the chief was going to do about that, because that was his own flesh and blood, his own mother. And they went out there, and so the story goes that they brought the chief up there, brought his mother up, and they brought her up and brought the evidence of her stealing, and they were wondering what he was going to do, and he pronounced the guilty verdict. And so they went, they tied her, they stripped her bare, and so she's standing there in front of everybody, and they're about to begin beating her for her crime. And all of a sudden the chief stopped, and he stopped, and he got up there, and he took off his own clothes, and he went over there and he laid himself across his mother and told him to begin. And that's where they were able to begin to actually, that thing that happened, they used to show what Jesus had done for mankind. And that's where they began to make a difference. And it's God's law that God suffered the just judgment for in our stead. That's why eternal life is a gift. And I want to take you back to verses 12 and 13. It says, "But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." Verse 13 says, "Which were born not of blood." Salvation doesn't come by bloodline. Just because you have a relationship with children, or your parents had a relationship with Christ, just because you have a relationship with Christ doesn't mean your children have that relationship, and it doesn't mean that you have that relationship on the basis of your parents. It doesn't work that way. "Nor of the will of the flesh." It's not willpower. It's not your will, the man, that your will and your ability to reform yourself that makes the difference. It doesn't make you just before God. It can't make you a child of God. Your bloodline can't make you a child of God. The will of your flesh can't make you a child of God. This is nor the will of man. I can't pronounce you a child of God. No man has the power to say, "Okay, join my group and you'll be a child of God." There's a lot of people that teach that nowadays, isn't it? As long as you're part of my group, you're okay. But the Bible doesn't teach that, does it? It teaches salvation comes in the form of a person. The one that's full of grace and truth, that's the Lord Jesus Christ. There's truth because God does not break His own law in order to justify us. Christ is the propitiation, the payment for our sins, the shedding of His blood, His death, His burial, His resurrection. And not because He was a good man, but because of who He is. He's not just a man, but He's God also. And this may not be new to you, but the question is, do you let people know who Jesus truly is when you're talking to them about it? But notice he said this: the ones that he gave power to become the sons of God, to those that believe on his name, it's as many as received him. To as many as received him. In other words, there has to be a reception of the truth. There has to be a reception of the person of Jesus Christ. There has to be. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. He was in the world knew him not. Isn't that the way a lot of people are today? Maybe you today, I don't know anybody's heart here but my own. Maybe you today, you know about Jesus, but you don't know him. You've heard about him, but you don't know him. You don't have a relationship. You've never received him. And it's not just enough to know who Jesus is. There has to be a reception of him as a person. There has to be the establishment of a relationship. It's all through the scriptures that this is a personal thing. It's something each person must do. You can't get it by osmosis. You can't be pronounced that way. As Baptists, one of the reasons why we're against infant baptism is because the Bible teaches that believers were baptized. A child can't believe. And that's why we've taught that based upon this idea that there must be a personal relationship. It's not by the will of man. And I'm not disparaging anybody's sincerity, whatever their religious practices. I'm just simply saying the Bible makes it clear there must be a relationship. There must be a receiving of him, and it's not something somebody else can do for you. And every one of us have to understand who Jesus is when we look at who we're talking about and a relationship. One Was Jesus a man? Yes. But he wasn't just a man. He was also God. The Word of God, who was God, who was in the beginning with God, was made flesh and dwelt among us. You go all the way back to the book of Genesis and you see that in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, right? And the earth was without form and void. And darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. So you see the Father, and you see the Spirit, and then you see, and God said. Then you see the Word of God, don't you? So all the way through the Scriptures, Jesus Christ is there. He's the God. He is indeed God. And yes, he took on human flesh, and yes, he lived that way. And yes, even today, he's seated at the right hand of the Father, and he's exalted. And he fulfills that role as our high priest. But before there was ever a creation that we, as we know it, he was there. And he took upon himself the form of a servant, the form of a man. See, man was created to serve God, wasn't he? He took upon himself a form. Is this the Jesus you know? Or is the Jesus you know some other Jesus? Like I said, read the book of Galatians, read 2 Corinthians. I believe it's chapter 11. And you'll see clear warnings that you got to be careful, because there are people that will preach another Jesus. I could spend time. I've quoted you by verses out of Isaiah 9:6, Micah 5:2. There are others that show Psalm 2, several others that we could look at, go through the Scriptures and show that the Savior, the Messiah that Israel had been promised, that Abraham had been promised, that David had been promised, that Moses had been promised, that all the way through the Scriptures, you find that Messiah was more than just a mere man. And then we find out, you know, you go to Isaiah chapter 7:14. Chapter 7, verse 14, and it says that a virgin shall be with child, shall bring forth a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Then we get to the book of Matthew, and it tells us what Emmanuel means. Emmanuel means God with us. Just an amazing thing. The testimony is so clear. But there's two things I want you to understand here. If you're here today, you don't know Christ, you're saved. You may say, preacher, I don't even know sure if I die today, I'd go to heaven. I really don't know. I've got good news for you. You can know. And I'm thankful for that. Be my honor to take a Bible. If you've got any questions, be my honor to take a Bible and show you everything that the Bible says about salvation. And you know, I'd be happy to do that. But if you're here today and you say, preacher, I know who Jesus is. That I believe that he's God in human flesh. I believe that he's the Savior that the Bible promised. My faith and my trust is in him. I believe he died for my sins. I believe that he rose from the dead. And I have called upon him. I have a relationship. I have believed on him personally. And I don't just believe about him. I know him as my Savior. I've received him into my heart, into my life. I know that. If that's who you are, then I just want to encourage you, make sure when you're trying to tell people about that, make sure you tell people who he is. Make sure you tell them about it. Because I think people deserve to know. You know, the truth of the matter is, how often do you hear, we hear a lot of people saying, hey, you need to trust Christ as your Savior, but how many times do you see people telling them who they're supposed to trust? Almost everybody has an opinion about Jesus. Might be good if they knew who the Bible says he was. You know, the Bible says the devils believe also and tremble. But knowing about something is not the same as knowing something, is it? Knowing about someone is not the same as knowing them. And where you are in that regard, I hope you're saved. I hope you've trusted Christ your Savior. And if you haven't, I'm just telling you today, He is your only hope. No man comes unto the Father but by Him. The Bible says in verse 18 of the same chapter we're in, no man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, He hath declared Him. You can't get there on your own. You can't have the right relationship with God on your own. It won't work. You have to go through Jesus Christ. You have to know Him. As many as received Him, to them gave you power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. They believe who He is. What does His name mean? His name means Jehovah is salvation. That's what the name of Jesus means. That He's the only hope. He's the only way. He's the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes unto the Father but by Him. And that's what we have to tell people. People need to understand who Jesus is. And, you know, we who say that we believe the Bible, we ought to be the ones to be able to tell them, right? You ought to be able to explain who Jesus is. And it's no wonder the Bible tells us as Christians to grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord. We're supposed to know more about Him. As the longer we live as Christians, we're supposed to get to know more and more and more about Jesus. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. And if God spoke to your heart, you need to do whatever God told you to do. If you need to come forward and pray, the altar's open for you. You can do that. If you've got a question, all you need to do is let me know, and I'll take all the time we need to just sit down and talk to you. But anything we can do to help you understand, or questions you have, we'll try to get them answered for you. But I just want to let you know that God loves you. And the God that loves you became a man and took upon His own self your sins in His own body and bore those on the cross. And He died in your place, and He shed His blood sacrificially as payment for your sins. And then He rose from the dead and proved that He paid it in full. And if you don't know Christ as your Savior today, I just encourage you to realize how much He loves you and what He's done for you. And I just want to tell you now, according to the Bible, you can be saved today if you'll put your faith and trust in Him, if you'll receive Him, as the Scripture says. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll close out the service. Father, You know every heart, and You know every need that we have. You know what the condition of our heart is. You know if we're saved or if we're lost. And we do too. So Lord, I just pray You'd help us to humble ourselves and just agree with what You're telling us now. If there's one that's lost, we pray for their salvation. And for us who have trusted Jesus as our Savior, they received Him and believed on His name. And Lord, I just pray You'd help us to be clear when we share the gospel with other people, to tell people who this Jesus we talk about is. Father, the world needs to know, and as much now as ever. And Lord, we need to be faithful to tell the truth. And Lord, as we grow up in our relationship, we need to understand who it is that we've believed in. We need to know more about our Savior, not less. Lord, help us to never be satisfied with just knowing a little bit, but help us to desire to be like the Apostle Paul said, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His suffering. Lord, help us to that end, we pray. Now, Lord, You know every heart, You know every need, and I just pray that you would work and give us what we need. Show us what we need to do. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right.